Paul's letter to the Galatians. To the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to shine once again a sermonic spotlight on verses 7 through 10 of Galatians chapter 6. And I ask those that have the ability to stand as we honor the reading of God's word. If you are unable to stand, God understands. But if you can, we ask you to stand. As you find in Galatians chapter 6. Amen. Praise. Let us pray. Well, Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, once again, it's another time that we stand to proclaim your holy word. Father God, we are unable to do this by ourselves. We're unable to understand it. We are unable to teach it or preach it. Yes, without your Holy Spirit staying with us. You said your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. But Father God, we need a word from you. And without a word from you, what will we do? So, Father God, allow this word to be a tailor-made word fit for the circumstance and situation which your people are going through at this present time.
Yes,
Father God, when we say ask you to have a tailor-made, it's a rhema word. We want it fit for my circumstance. Make it personal for me. Father God, I don't know what they're going through, but Father God, you're always with them. You'll never leave them.
Yes,
so, Father God, answer their prayer, encourage them, strengthen them, get them insight through your word. Bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Because you said in your word, your people perish for lack of knowledge. So, Father God, we ask you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding today. And, Father God, let your word fall on good ground. So we're falling, oh, Father God, it can be cultivated, it can be harvested, and we can grow up and be a better soldier for you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, whatever's accomplished in this setting, oh, Father God. We'll be careful to give you all the honor and praise and glory.
And glory.
Speak, Lord, for your people hear it.
Yes, Lord.
Galatians chapter 6, beginning at the 7th verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And Paul says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Yes.
Can I put it in the street language before you dig a furlough?
Yes, sir.
Especially the folk in the church.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I put a tag on this text. Yes, I can't quit. That's part two. I'm going to end this message today. Make your cease in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I can't quit. I think I can stand today and say without fear of debate, division, or even contradiction that being a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who loves God, attends church, reads your Bible, that following Jesus has its good days and its bad days.
Yes.
I don't want to discourage anyone who's on the brink of joining church today, but I do want to be honest with you that following the Lord has some ups and some downs.
Yes.
Some highs and a whole lot of lows.
Yes.
For certain, there are moments when the joy of Jesus and the grace of God overwhelm us and we feel like shouting, hallelujah.
Yes.
But then there are those moments when we realize that the call, you know what I mean? The commitment, the command of God on our life requires us to do some things that are not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. Because when you read scripture and if you don't edit out the verses you don't like, you will find that God commands us in Christ to do some things that are not easy. Praying for them that despitefully use you.
Come on now.
That's not easy. Forgiving somebody 70 times 7. Come on, Jesus. That's a lot.
Yes.
Biting your tongue and only saying what God, what glorifies God, when you would much rather open your lips and give somebody detailed instructions on how to get
yes, sir.
Where they need to go.
Yes,
that's not easy.
Not
easy. That whole turning the cheek thing, Reverend Lyons, if you get slapped thing. I've been walking with God 40 years. I have not figured that one out yet. God calls us to do some things with others. Love them that hate you. Pray for them that use you. Be kind to them that manipulate you. God, I can do it if only I had to do it every now and again.
Yes.
I can do some of that if only I had to do it maybe once or twice a year.
Yes.
For a moment, here and there. But the challenge is that God calls us to walk right with others continuously, every day, all the time.
Yes, right. Amen.
And if we can be honest, it is not easy to be righteous in this world today.
Yes.
Can I argue my case?
Yes, sir.
Because we see righteousness as an investment in other people. So when I am right by you, Tracy, I just expect you to do right by me.
Yes.
If I speak to you and I don't like you, you should be Christian enough to speak to me when you don't like me. That's what I thought anyway. There's a reciprocity here. If I stay out of your stuff, my expectation is that you stay out of my stuff. If I forgive you and let your stuff go, then you should forgive me and let mine go.
Yeah.
The trouble with that is, Sister Anna, is all of us know what it is like to be righteous, to do the right thing, to take the high road, only for it not to be reciprocated.
Yes.
You are more holy than I. Y'all got bigger vows than me. I'm just going to testify on behalf of those of us who got some BC still in there. Some before Christ and before church.
Okay.
I got some remnant of sin, Brother Anderson, still in me. I'm saved, but I'm not delivered from everything.
Amen.
You feel me?
Amen.
So on behalf of us that know we are a work in progress,
yes.
It is hard being the peacemaker with someone who likes to fight.
Yes,
it's hard. It's hard taking the high road with someone that likes the gutter.
Yes.
It's hard being Christ-like, Deacon Furlough, with someone who is demonic.
Yeah.
It is hard biting your tongue with someone who can't shut their mouth.
Yeah.
It is hard being mature with someone who always wants to be childish.
Yes.
And if the truth be told, you can do right for so long that you reach a place where you decide to quit being right.
My God.
It's not working, God.
Hello.
They're not changing.
Hello.
And I'm not being rewarded. Yeah. Have you reached a place where you wanted to tell God, to heck with this? God, you're just going to have to forgive me today.
Yes.
You're going to have to give me a pass, God, because I'm going to let her have exactly what she deserves.
Yeah.
Am I preaching to somebody today?
Yes.
You're right on the brink.
Right here.
You're making your mind tomorrow, you're going to snap, crackle, and pop on somebody because they just deserve to get told. Have you ever wanted to give up on being righteous? Have you ever just wanted to do things your own way? Have you ever gotten tired of trying to take the high road and it never leads where you think it should go? I know somebody who is here has been there.
Yes, sir.
Because one of them is right here in the pulpit.
Yeah.
I told y'all last week, I was ready to quit everything. Some individuals I was dealing with was going to get told some stuff. I would not have been representing God well or walking worthy of my calling. But in the midst of wanting to quit, Sister Furlough, on doing the right thing, here come God whispering in my ear like he always do, this one verse.
Yeah.
A scripture that always turns me around. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
Here this verse is more important than God works all things together for my good. It's more important than the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
It's more grounding than they that wait upon the Lord. I want you in moments, church, of frustration, when you're ready to give up on doing the right thing, I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul in God's voice whispering in your ear, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because what Paul is saying to each and every one of us, you have to get that quit out of your spirit.
Yes.
I need to say that again up here. Y'all need to get that quit out of your spirit. You cannot give up on righteousness so easy. Just because somebody decided else to do it. You don't do what nobody else do. Do the right thing.
Yes.
Just do the right thing.
Yes.
I want you to hear the Apostle Paul in God's voice saying, you can't walk away from doing the right thing. You can't be so frustrated that you stop doing what God has called and commanded you to do.
All right.
Living how God expects you to live.
Yes.
Loving how God expects you to love.
Yes.
Being kind. Being patient.
Yes.
Praying. Being nice. Helping others. The Lord said, listen, don't ever give up on doing the right thing.
Never give up.
I hope y'all hear me.
Yes, sir.
You can't walk away from doing the right thing. You can't be so frustrated. You can't do that. Here's how Paul presses it. Paul says the reason you can't give up on doing the right thing, watch me now, watch this. Because the Holy Spirit that you say you got will help you hold on.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, yes.
Can I teach some Pentecost?
Yes.
The power of the Holy Spirit is literally to help you be committed to doing righteousness when being righteous is not easy.
Yes.
Watch what Paul says. Look at the language as I teach it. Paul says, first point, let us not grow weary in well-doing.
Yes.
He speaks in the first person plural in this collective identity. He doesn't say, I won't grow weary. He does not say, you shouldn't grow weary. He said, let us not grow weary. Now, if I have not lost you, the question you should be asking yourself is, who is this us? Who is Paul speaking about? The us are the Christians in Galatia to whom he is writing. And what Paul said to the Christians in Galatia, the First Baptist Church of Galatia, he said, listen, let us not give up on doing the right thing. Now, why does Paul tell the church in Galatia, don't give up on doing the right thing? As a matter of fact, he pushes it in verse 10 of the text, and he says, make sure you do right by everybody in the church.
Christian
ain't easy now.
It
The very place you should not grow weary in doing right is with the body of Christ. Why does Paul press being righteous in the midst of some Christians? Well, you need to know what was going on in Galatia. When you read Galatians, you'll find out when Paul left that city, another group of Christians came in contradicting Paul's teachings. There was a group of Christians called the Judaizers. Church, say Judaizers. That's what they were called. What are Judaizers? Judaizers were Christians who were first Jews. And they believed that Christianity was just a sect, S-E-C-T, of Judaism. Therefore, they argued if a Gentile wanted to become a Christian, watch this whack stuff, they first had to become a Jew. Which meant they had to abide by the Mosaic dietary laws. And the Mosaic law for circumcision. So when Paul left the Gentiles in Galatia who had confessed Christ, the Judaizers came behind him and said, listen, y'all not Christian because y'all eating ribs. Really?
Yeah.
And you're not circumcised.
All right.
So in order to be a Christian, you have to do what we tell you to do. And Paul realizes that in Galatia, the church is starting to splinter. He done taught these people, but now they let somebody come in for some off-denomination, strange religion, some strange doctrine, and that you got sects and cliques beginning to work up in the church. See, I can let you stand up here and preach. Why? Because I know. I just spent some time talking to you. You think like I think, know what doctrine I know, and you done caught the vision. You can't let anybody get up in front of your flock.
That's right.
Because what you done worked years to teach with God told you to teach, one person can get up and screw it up in one day. You want my pastor? Don't anybody get in their pulpit? That's why. My daddy said, can't let no jackleg preacher get up.
That's right.
All right. Judaizers. So they are fighting. They are fussing. Every time saints get together, something ugly jumps off.
Come on, daddy.
When the saints gather in church, some mean things are said. Division creeps up. Some facts and cliques break out. And people are not loving each other. So Paul said, listen. Don't you ever give up on doing right by other people in church, even if they don't act right.
That's right.
Paul says, I am pressing you to do the right, be right with other saints. Why does not Paul push doing right with other church folk? Because Paul knew what you and I know.
Yes.
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
He knew what you and I knew, Nicole. Church can get ugly. Church can be mean. Don't look at nobody else. I'm talking to you. Look at me. The longer you come to church, sooner or later, you're going to find out that church folk are not always Christ-like. Can I help you? I know some of y'all planning to join church today, but pastor just got to give y'all a disclosure. If you come to church long enough, you're going to find out that church people are people.
Yes.
Bible in hand, Baptist wearing, shouting, Amazing Grace singing, but they are still people. And if I know people like I know people, people can act a people on you.
Yes.
At some moment, some usher is not going to smile. At some morning, you are going to say good morning and not get nothing back in return.
Yeah.
Some morning the preacher's going to tell you, touch your neighbor, and you're going to reach out, and your neighbor's going to say, you better not. Don't you touch me. Paul said, I need you all in Galatia to learn, never give up on doing the right, even when church folk get ugly. Put up with them. Wow, this ain't easy. And how do you do that? He's arguing from chapter 5, Brother Hudson, into chapter 6. This is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
that the power of the Holy Spirit is to give you the strength to be committed to righteousness. When righteousness is not easy. That the presence of the Holy Spirit is not found in how many people shouting.
Uh-huh.
How many people jumping up and down.
Yes.
How many people falling out at the altar.
Yes.
How many people talking tongues. That is not the sign of the Holy Spirit in people.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to you right now, plain and simple. Watch it, Brother Larry. Brother Samuel, watch this. The sign of the Holy Spirit is when someone has left a bad taste in your mouth in church, and you come back to church anyway.
Come on. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Can I prove you the Holy Spirit? Can I prove it? The Holy Spirit is the strength that keeps you in the choir when they don't sing your solo, won't give you the solo, or you don't like the song they play or how they play the song.
Amen.
You ain't gonna quit the choir. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the strength, Sister Mumford.
Yes.
To serve on the committee, even if they don't let you be in charge of the committee.
Yes. Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit says, stay with it, even when giving up being righteous is easy because God has called you to be here.
That's right.
Let's just get a little deeper before I end this first part. Paul says, in order to press through, you got to learn to stay connected.
That's right.
And committed to the church.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Even when church gets ugly.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh.
My God.
Why does Paul encourage us to begin the journey of righteousness by being committed to the church? Why does Paul say, listen, this is how you're going to grow in your walk.
Yes.
Grow in your walk. You know we're supposed to be growing, y'all.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Some of y'all want to stay in Pampas right forever. No, we got to grow up. When you learn not to give up on church, why is it important that we learn to stay committed to church? Even when it gets ugly? You have to remember why you come to church anyway.
Amen.
It's the real deal here, y'all. Why you come to church?
Yes, yes.
This is so deep. Church on Sunday is meant, let you know, to get you ready for Monday.
Yes. That's what it is.
When you come to church, the Lord wants to fill you with what you need to make it through the Wednesday.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you come to church, the Lord already knows what Thursday is going to bring you. So the Lord brings you into the church to try to get your soul ready, your mind ready, your heart ready for what you're going to experience during the week. So here it is. Why do you have to deal with church ugly? See, it's simple. Watch this now. Because if you can deal with a Christian not speaking to you on Sunday, then you can handle a crazy co-worker on Monday.
Yes.
And you can stay and worship when you feel like Sister So-and-so didn't speak to you and you don't feel welcome, then no demonic supervisor can push you outside of the peace of God. If you can deal with a nasty alto in the choir, then surely you can handle all the demons on your job.
Come on, yes. Yes.
Yes.
All the crazy folk in your house.
Yeah.
All the neighbors that get on your nerves.
Yeah.
You got to know how to push and press through.
Come on, that's right. That's right.
Say it to yourself, Sunday is getting us ready for Monday.
Just getting me ready.
Paul says, let us not grow weary in well-doing,
yes,
but do well to the people of faith, because the Holy Spirit will help you to hold on.
Yes.
And if you can get through Sunday, Rob, you can make it through the Friday.
Oh,
yes. So here we go. Let us not grow weary. The Holy Spirit is going to help us. Here's the second point. Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Point two. Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Due season. Oh. The word due in the original Greek is the word idios, I-D-I-O-S, idios. The word due is not really a good translation of the word idios. Idios is used in the New Testament 113 times, Brother Ames, but 61 of those times it is translated in a different way. 61 of the time idios is translated, it's translated O-W-N, own, like mine, own. So read verse 9 again. Let us not grow weary and well doing, because in our own season.
Come on now, we got stress.
Thank you, God. In our OWN season, we shall reap and faint not. Where God will cause me to reap.
Yes.
Brother Barris, you got a season that God will cause you to reap.
Yes.
Not my season, your season. Help us, Lord. I got a season, y'all, where God will return everything I have put out and the devil has taken away from me.
Yes.
I got my own season.
Yes.
A window when God knows it's time for me to reap.
Yes.
Y'all feel you feel me, Dick Fellow?
Yes.
Just getting good and good.
Yes.
Paul argues the reason you ought to keep doing right is God will never let you do right and not reward you.
Yes.
Did y'all miss the shot?
Yes.
God will never let us do right. Right, and not reward us for it.
Yes.
He's seen us when we do right.
Yes.
What you say?
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Due season.
Yes.
My season's on the way.
Yes.
Now here's where God and I get a little bit in a discussion.
Yes.
Oh man. This is me and God getting discussions today, Andy Washington.
Yes.
Because I get that there's a due season, my own season.
Uh-huh.
What I want to know is, when is it coming?
All right.
I believe the Lord will reward me.
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out.
When?
Yes.
What bothers me is that in the world, I know how to identify the season.
Yes.
When the leaves fall and they turn, it's fall.
Yes.
When the rain comes, Sister Mumford, it's springtime.
Yes.
When the cold wind blows, Sister Furlough, it's wintertime.
Yes.
And when the sun gets up early and it's hot, it's summertime.
Yes.
I can identify those seasons.
Yes.
How do I identify due season? Help your child preach it, Lord.
Yes, sir.
How do you identify due season? How do you know when the Lord is going to cause you to reap your righteousness? How do I know when God is going to pay me for being nice to y'all and them? There is a marker, Sister Vernice, to let you know when you're about to enter due season.
Yes.
But you're not going to like it. Let me tell you how you know you're about to walk into your own season. I've shared with you how Paul writes verse 9 in the Greek. He writes, it's translated in English, but Paul writes all his books in the Greek. In the English translation, you can't see it. You don't see it. Verse 9 reads like this. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap
if we faint not. The word weary and faint come from the same word in the Greek.
Yes.
The same root. They're almost the same word. So here's a better way to read it. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap when we get weary.
Come on now. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Come on. You got it, Pastor. That's it. Yeah.
Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap when we get weary. Let us never give up on doing right, because in due season we shall reap when we want to give up on doing what's right.
Yes.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
How do you know when you're about to end a due season? Because you're getting tired of doing it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
How do you know you're almost at the breakthrough? Because you are at the brink. The breakthrough is on the other side of the brink, but you can't get to the breakthrough until you get to the brink.
Yeah.
Y'all get the word. Come on now.
Yes.
You can't get to your breakthrough till you reach to your wit's end.
Yes.
That's right.
My goodness. Jesus.
Which means you got to push to the place where you feel you just can't do it no more. The Lord says, when you are at the place where you feel like you can't do it anymore, that's not where you quit. That's where you push one more again. One more again. Because the breakthrough is on the other side of the break. Okay. I know some of you not getting it. I understand. When we go through difficult time moments in our walk with God, we often pray and ask Him to help us.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
It seems like we be praying, and if it doesn't seem like He's trying to help us. Mm-hmm. It seems like there are times that you feel God is right there with you, but it don't seem like He's trying to do nothing for you. He right there. You feel him?
Yes.
But he ain't doing nothing, Sister Muffin.
Yes.
Nothing changing.
Jesus.
You got his comfort, but you ain't got no relief.
Yes.
My God.
You're struggling, and you see the end in view.
Yes.
You can see you're breaking up a new day, but you just see can't seem to get there. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you give it one more push.
Yes.
One more and another push.
Yes.
And you push through to the breakthrough.
Yes.
You're on the other side of the situation now, and your circumstance, you done pushed through it. You're thanking God.
Yes.
But in the middle of your praise, you thinking, you ask God, well, why didn't you just help me when I asked you?
I know.
You said you would help me.
Yes.
God said, hey, listen, what you talking about? I'm not here just to help you every time you call me. I am the creator. You are capable of.
Yes, he does.
I am also here to make you stronger.
Yes.
And if I don't let you struggle,
that's
sometimes you will never get any stronger.
That's right.
Where did you think that push came from, God? Tell me to ask you. From down inside your belly. That was me stirring up the gift on the inside of you. Inside of your spirit. To reach beyond the break.
Yes.
Woo! All of a sudden I thought I got my second God to make you strong. You got to push through and get through. God says, I'm making you strong by pushing you to the brink of wanting to quit. Because every time you go to the brink goes further out.
Yes.
So what you couldn't handle then, you can easily handle now. Somebody here, y'all, can I get a witness? You've been through so much that your brink is so far out there. There's some stuff you should be able to handle right now.
Yes.
That's just easy.
Yes.
Listen to this. Talking about me? I can handle that. Not liking me?
Whatever.
I can handle that. I don't give a hoot if you don't like me. The Lord has a way of making you stronger by pushing you through some stuff.
Yes.
Now sometimes people get in the email. Can I upset you, really? Send all the emails you want. Let's not grow weary in doing right and doing well, because in due season, in our own time,
yes,
we will reap if we faint not.
Yes.
Yes, God.
God says the Holy Ghost will help us to hold on.
Yes.
God is making me stronger.
Yes.
Watch this last point. I'm out of here. And you will reap. You shall reap. Hear my people of God. Hear people of God. I said this without fear of contradiction. There's no way for you to do right by God and not reap. Did y'all just hear me? Y'all listen to the pastor? There's no way to do right by God and not reap. Now the problem is that Paul uses a verse in chapter 6 that's probably one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible, Brother Hudson. The saints know it. Church people know it. It goes like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. The saints, y'all know that verse.
Yes.
That's the verse we use. We want God to get somebody. You know, someone has done you wrong, but because you're a Christian, you won't get them back, but you let them know. That's okay. God is not mocked. Everything you've done to me, come on, right back to you. The problem with that is it establishes some form of Christian karma. That what you sow, you reap. That is not what Paul is saying. Can Pastor teach this?
Yes.
We misinterpret that passage because it sounds good.
Yes.
That's not what Paul is meaning.
Okay.
I'm going to argue with you that whatever man sows is not always what a man reaps.
That's true.
Here it is. First thing. Number one. Because there's some stuff you have sowed.
Yes.
That you have never reaped.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
You should have said a merciful amen right there.
Amen.
I have sowed some dirt that God did not let me reap. I sowed some ratchet that God did not let me reap.
Yes.
I sowed some iniquity that God did not let me reap. Is there anybody here that knows God keep you from reaping everything you sowed?
Yes.
That's the mercy of God.
Yes.
Paul says, no, it's not about what you reap. Keep on reading the text. Read your Bible. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption.
Yes.
If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap eternal life.
Yes, yes.
The sowing is not about reaping. What you have sowed It's not about what, it's about where you sow it. Here's what Paul wants a child of God to know. Sow into the spirit and not into the flesh.
Yes.
Let your works of righteousness be an investment in your spiritual life.
Yes.
And not your fleshly life. Yes. The real gist is this. Why do you do what you do?
Why
are you so nice to them that hate you? Why would you pray for someone who uses you? Why would you help someone who can't help you back? Paul says you can do it for one or two ways. Paul says you can do it because you expect them to reciprocate. The problem when you sow into the flesh, flesh can never reciprocate.
Right, right.
Hear me, beloved. There's some people who are utterly incapable of reciprocating your righteousness back to you.
That's right.
You remember? I don't care how good you are. They can't do it. They're not on the spiritual level. I don't care how much you teach Sunday school. I don't care what you preach. There's some people in the church, they just not going to get it.
That's right.
Because what I'm saying sounds good, but they ain't receiving it in their spirit. They hear it in their ears. It's making their ears feel good, but they're not receiving it in their spirit. They cannot reciprocate.
That's true.
I'm all Bible right now. Paul says you can do it because you expect them to reciprocate. The problem with just doing it is you sow up to the flesh, you can never reciprocate. No matter how kind you are to them, they will never be kind to you. No matter how much you love them, they will never love you back. No matter how much you pray for them, they will never pray for you. So I don't do it sowing in my flesh. Why do you say that, Angela? I do it sowing in my spirit.
Yes.
Which means my motivation for being righteous is not you.
All right.
Got nothing to do with you.
Yes.
That's right.
My motivation for being right and doing right got nothing to do with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
My reason I'm righteous is because I'm in relationship with Him. Woo!
That's it. Thank you, Lord.
That's it.
Yeah.
So even if you're never kind, never reciprocate, I do it because I'm in relationship with God.
Yes.
And when I sow into the Spirit, I reap from the Spirit a matter. I reap from the Spirit. It's a matter of my motivation.
Yes, that's it.
When I do right to be right with God, I reap godly things.
Yes.
If I do it to be right with you, I will always be frustrated. What do we reap from the Spirit? Y'all can make, I got time to teach that too. Chapter 6 is preceded by chapter 5. In chapter 5, when Paul talks about the Spirit, he lists the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
That when you do right because you want to be right with God, you reap the things only God can give you.
Yes.
There's some things people of God, people on your job, people in your church, your family can never give you.
That's right.
Joy.
That's
peace.
Yes.
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Gentleness. Yes. Kindness. Yes. Self-control. Steadfastness. Long-suffering. These are things God gives you. Yes. Nobody else can give you those things.
Exactly.
Peace is not a gift nobody else can give you. It is something that only comes from the Spirit of God. So Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. The Holy Spirit will help you to hold on. In due season, we shall reap. God is going to push you to the brink. But the breakthrough is right there on the other side of the brink.
Yes, it is.
You can't quit now. Make sure you know you will reap. Not from people. But from God.
Yes.
And God will give you what nobody can give you.
That's right.
Stand to your feet. Let's pray.